Hello and welcome to Share Talk. You're listening to Charlie Gibson. And joining me in the studio today is the Chief Executive of Kibo Energy, Louis Kutsaya. Louis, thank you very much indeed for joining us. So why don't you start by telling us all about Kibo's, its assets, its strategy and its business plan.
Charlie, it's nice to be talking to you again. We have just recently completed a further funding for Kibo to the extent of about £1 million, which we will put in good use towards developing our project portfolio, which currently consists of our projects in Botswana, where we're looking to develop a couple of power projects in Botswana. We're still working on our MCPP, Mbeya Coal to Power project in Tanzania, and then also our Benga project in Mozambique. The Tanzanian one, just to recap again, 300 megawatt project, Tanzania, the Mozambique one, 150 megawatts plus another 200 megawatts that we have added recently in the form of the Baobab project that's added to the portfolio. And then, of course, our emergency or peaking power projects in the UK under Mast Energy Development. At the moment, our key and primary focus is on our Benga, our Mozambican projects, where we are making really good progress. We are advancing quite well at the moment, as well as our emergency and peaking power projects in the UK and MED.
Several things, I suppose, occur to me specifically is one, you know, I think if you look at the Southern African or the southern part of the African continent generally, it has traditionally been very dominated by South Africa in terms of what the huge coal mines there have always produced, but to supply South Africa, a lot of power from surrounding nations was also exported to South Africa in its day. But I suppose this is my question to you, is these are mostly coal-fired energy projects. Is this the time to be getting into coal-fired energy generation? One can't help but notice that politically, coal is somewhat, certainly in Europe and I suppose North America to some extent, coal is very out of favor as a fuel. Is this the right moment to be going in that direction when most of the rest of the world seems to be either moving or trying to move in the opposite direction?
Well, the answer to this, in my opinion, is very simple. The areas that can afford, those parts of the world that can afford to aggressively move away from coal-fired or fossil fuel-based power generation, is in a position where they have already established a vast infrastructure, they have a developed infrastructure, they have sufficient supply and redundancy in terms of baseload electricity supply. Countries where we are working just do not have that. They don't have baseload energy supply yet. They need that desperately to get their economies going. They need to get that in an affordable manner, and they need to get it very quickly, and even more so with COVID, with the onset of COVID-19 now. To get these economies going, we will have to get the energy sector going very quickly. We will have to be able to provide baseload power in an affordable, reliable manner. And there is nothing that we can replace coal with in these parts of the world where we're working at the moment. So as far as Kibo is concerned, we've always said that we see the coal-fired projects that we are working on at the moment as a transition towards renewable or more environmentally friendly sources. But we do not see a way forward without making use of coal for the short to medium term in terms of the baseload supply. Hence the fact that we've also engaged strategic partnerships with long-duration storage in the form of ESS, where we are looking at supplementing the coal-fired projects that we're doing with long-duration storage capacity at a baseload level so that we can start to incorporate the renewable energy sources or generation as well. I think the short answer to your question is, this is not a matter of, is this the right time to get into coal? This is a question of, what do we need to do to get the economies of the countries where we're working in going in such a way that they can, one, grow these economies to at a sufficient pace so that they can develop their full potential, but more so with where we are at the moment in the whole problem or whole crisis around COVID-19, to do that on an accelerated basis moving forward. So it's not the one or the other. It is, how do we move forward from where we are now to get to a point where we can develop economies and infrastructure to the extent that we can transition into renewable sources.
Okay, that understood. If you were to develop these power projects, is the several things that have to come together, and it's not just the mine, it's not just the power station. The country in which you're developing the power station, the mine, has to have the infrastructure to be able to support that. We read quite a lot of the trials and tribulations of the South African electricity supply situation. I know we're looking outside South Africa, but if you take sort of South Africa as one's benchmark, do these other countries that you're operating in, the likes of Tanzania, the likes of Mozambique, do they have enough infrastructure there to be able to support the projects that you're proposing?
If I can just, if you would allow me, Charlie, to just add one more sentence to the previous answer, and that is also just to add that all the projects that we're working on are very carefully designed, very carefully planned, very carefully developed to make sure that we have absolutely the smallest possible environmental impact in what we're doing as far as coal-fired is going. And I must say, we've achieved a situation so far where the environmental impact that we will have with the projects that we are developing is comparable to what a normal gas-fired plant would have. And we've developed some very ingenious methods and techniques to mitigate environmental impact. Having said that, I want to move on to your question that you asked me just now. At the same time, all the projects that we are developing have been carefully chosen to form an integral part of the socio-economic development plan and strategy of the country that we're working in. Therefore, the projects are also planned to develop in conjunction or in alignment with the infrastructure development. So it's always a chicken and egg situation. Which one do you develop first? But what we've said is, let's see where and how the socioeconomic development plans of each one of these countries are positioned. Where is the need? How do we position what we're doing so that it dovetails properly with the development of infrastructure? But more importantly, how do we position them so that we are a catalyst for the development of infrastructure, for the accelerated development of infrastructure? So it's an interaction between the two so that you make sure that the one enhances the other. I think that's how we've approached it. We didn't just go and develop an energy project for the sake of developing an energy project. All our projects are carefully selected to be a critical catalyst, a key enabler of the socioeconomic development plan, which in turn is very much seated and founded in the infrastructure development of the country.
We've talked a lot about the strategy and the overview. Your lead project, as I understand it, is Benga in Mozambique, around about the town or city of Tete. And those of us of a certain age will remember the Tete corridor very well, so we'll know almost exactly where it is. But just tell us about that project, would you?
Well, the area where we're developing this project, the Benga area, close to where the Vale coal mine is, and where there's significant mining development or significant mining developments planned for the future, is an area where we expect and where we think we will see significant economic growth and economic development over the coming years. What we did initially was to, as I've explained just now in the previous reply, is to position a power project which fits into the national energy plan and strategy, but also ties in very well with the socioeconomic development program. That was initially a 300 megawatt project, of which we were developing the first phase now in terms of 150 megawatt. And that was primarily for power supply or delivery to EDM, the national utility, and some private offtake as well, as we've announced in the past. What we have now seen, and it comes back to what I said just now, the moment we started doing that, and the moment we started showing real progress, that created a situation where we could also now become a development partner, so to speak, for the Baobab project, for the steel and vanadium project just on our doorstep, which adds a further 200 megawatt capacity to the project that we're doing now, immediately enhancing or expanding that project to a total of about 350 megawatt with a diversified offtake, which again creates a situation where both in private and public sectors, you see development moving forward with a very positive spin-off, very positive effect into the socioeconomic development program. All of these projects are very high priority in terms of the national development plan, hence also the reason why we are putting so much focus on them. There's a lot of tension on this. There's a lot of focus on these. None of these projects can really go forward without energy, without electricity. Therefore, we need to get this going as quickly as we can. And we've seen some really strong support from all stakeholders. It's actually more than support. We've seen really good cooperation, really good support to move this forward, get this going so that we can get a broader economic development effect and initiative going in that region.
The business of developing power stations is nothing if not capital intensive. And you build a start power station, you can easily be spending hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. Does Kibo have the size and scale to be able to execute these projects itself, or is it going to need to bring in a partner? And if so, under what sort of terms do you expect?
These are things which we've been explaining, I almost want to say ad nausea, in the past. We didn't go into these projects blindly or without proper planning and strategic thinking. Hence the reason why we have established some very key strategic partnerships from the word go. And I'm referring to our development partnership with General Electric, with GE. I'm referring to our strategic partnership on the EPC side with SEPCO 3. I'm referring to our strategic partnership on renewables, specifically long-duration storage in the form of ESS. I'm referring to our strategic partnership with Steg in terms of the management and operation of power stations. So we've really gone, and before we embarked on this road, where we act in the role as developer, we have made sure that we put in place really strong, proper strategic partnerships, which will stand us in good stead, or has it served us really well in the past, and it will serve us really well in the future, because any one of these names that I've mentioned just now have a real good international standing, credibility, capability, capacity, track record. So in terms of having the partnerships, in terms of having those strategic abilities and capabilities, we've already established that. It is already in place. It's up to us now to take the development role and bring these projects to fruition. And that's exactly what we're doing at the moment, specifically in Tanzania, in Mozambique. If you take into account that we are targeting two significant power purchase agreements before end of this year, while we're developing our emergency power projects in the UK as well. So in terms of the partnerships, I think they are there. They are solid. They are really credible partnerships, and which we have benefited from a lot in the past and will continue to do so in the future.
So, and I'll let you exercise a fair bit of artistic license here, but in your wildest dreams, if everything goes according to plan, if I can put it that way, where would you hope, and granted these are big projects with long lead times, but where would you see Kibo in, I don't know, 5 to 10 years' time?
If I make liberal use of your latitude that you've given us now, then I would hope to see at least our projects in Mozambique up and running. That is nothing less than run about the 350, 400 megawatt capacity in full production. If you're asking me over the next 5 years, where do I see the company? I hope to see the same situation within Tanzania. And that's all predicated on further guidance and further advice from the policymakers in Tanzania. But we believe that will still move forward, that the projects that we do there. And then specifically also to see our emergency and peaking power projects in the UK expand to the full potential that we believe that can be. There's no reason why we couldn't have a portfolio of around about 100 megawatt in production there as well at that time. So where do I see us in 5 years? Maybe in a nutshell to summarize, it is to produce power in the aggregate of around about 400, 700, 800 megawatt. And that's a sizable portfolio to have in production and to operate.
And what sort of percentage interest would you have in those projects, do you think?
In the UK, we have 60% with the right to extend that up to 80%. In Mozambique, we own 65% with the right to extend that up to 85%. And in Tanzania, we own 100%.
That's at the moment, but presumably there's going to come a point where you're going to have to spend the hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. And presumably at that point, you would, either you could raise that money from markets, or you'd have to look to dilute. What are your thoughts?
Of course, we will dilute in the process. But exactly to what extent, it's very difficult to say at this point in time to what extent, because it really depends on how effectively we can gear the projects. Now, if you look at the normal rule of thumb, is run about 70% debt to 30% equity, or 75% debt to 25% equity. It's within that range that you then have to look and to understand what your capability and capacity will be to raise that sort of equity. How much will that be? To what extent will it dilute you? So it's difficult to say at this point in time what our ultimate position would be, but I would say that we are really well positioned. We are really in a good position as we've developed the projects to now, that we will still have a significant shareholding at the time that these projects are in production.
To what extent are the politicians playing ball? Because I understand that you know how much you can mine the coal for, you know how much the operating costs of the power station are. So generally you can work out with a reasonable degree of accuracy how much it costs to produce a kilowatt of electricity. On the other side of that, you need the politicians usually, or the state utility, to commit to buying an offtake agreement, to commit to buying at a certain price. Have you got to those negotiations yet? And are they advancing in a constructive manner?
Well, as far as Mozambique is concerned, more than two-thirds of the portfolio that we're developing there is a private offtake. It's just one client, a private offtaker. So that's much easier. As for the balance of that, we are already in discussions. We've had ongoing negotiations with the state utility for quite a while now. We have seen really positive developments in that regard. We've seen the state utility participating in this in real good faith. And we haven't seen any negative participation in it. We have experienced a very positive, very constructive engagement with them. And we believe we will continue to see that. So yes, we are engaged. We are already engaged in these conversations, in these negotiations. They are advancing well. And as I've said, so far we've seen a very constructive, a very positive engagement on the side of the utilities.
One of the quirks of producing electricity, or coal-fired electricity, in Southern Africa is that it's one of the very few places, possibly the only place in the world, where you take it for granted that you have enormous coal resources, or eventually reserves. But sometimes the problem is that you don't have enough water. Are there enough water supplies locally in all of the areas that you're looking at to be able to be utilized in these power stations? Or is that an issue that you might have to face down the track at some point?
In none of the projects that we are developing has got any water issues. And maybe this was one of the areas, one of the things I could also mention is, for example, the project that we are working on in Tanzania, we've been able to develop that, design the water use of that in such a way that we integrate it create an interaction between the mine, who's providing the coal to the plant. As we dewater the mine, we are putting that water through the plant, and then that water goes back into the reserves again. So there we've actually been able to create a closed cycle with virtually no impact on the water reserves. We just recycle it. So as we dewater in front of the mine, it comes through the plant and goes back into where it came from, to put it very simply. I'm obviously oversimplifying it now. But we've been able to create a closed cycle there, where we will have virtually no impact on the water reserves. And then as far as Mozambique is concerned, we are literally on the banks of the Zambezi River. So we have ample water that we will be able to make use of in Mozambique. So none of our projects are faced with a water problem. And we've also taken a lot of care to make sure that our water use is planned and deployed in such a way that we do not have an adverse effect on the water reserves.
Tell us a little bit about your involvement in the Baobab project. You've alluded to it there on a number of occasions, but at TET in Mozambique. And this is an area, I think, that Rio Tinto looked very hard at creating a sort of an iron and steel and coal hub. But is this a diversification for you, becoming involved in this project? Or how do you describe it?
It's not a diversification at all. It's an expansion. So we just keep on doing what we're doing. What we're doing is we are actually we are in a very fortunate position where we are able to provide an opportunity for Baobab, and I don't think they will be upset with what I'm saying now, but we are creating an opportunity for them where they can focus on their core business, and that is mining and producing steel, and we can focus on our core business, and that is producing energy. Otherwise, they would have had to do both. So we are in a position where we can expand what we're doing. And in doing so, we are affording them the opportunity to focus all their attention and funding on their core business, which is mining and producing steel. So this is not a diversification. It's an expansion of our existing portfolio, energy portfolio in Mozambique. And it creates also an opportunity for us to diversify our offtake base so that we have a substantial private offtaker and not be dependent on the utility only.
We've talked a lot about Southern Africa. We haven't talked so much about your operations in the UK. They don't seem to an outsider to be a natural grouping. But just tell us a little bit about your initiatives in the UK and how you're developing those and why indeed they should be within the same company as a company that has all of these assets in Southern Africa.
Well, I mean, we are an energy company, and as an energy company, they belong within our portfolio. Maybe from a focus point of view, our projects in Southern Africa are more utility scale projects, whereas what we're doing in the UK is more are smaller emergency power projects. The reason why we got into that is because it's a very lucrative market. It is the fastest developing sector in the energy sector in the UK. And it will continue to develop and grow significantly over the coming years. So, but it also provides us with an opportunity to get quicker to revenue generation, much quicker than what we are doing in our utility scale projects. And therefore, we are developing a whole portfolio of projects. We've done extensive development work already. We were supposed to be in production with the first site earlier this year. But again, as a result of COVID-19, everything came to a standstill. Our EPC capacity or capability in this regard is an Italian company. They were particularly hard hit, and they only started to get back to work during the course of May, and they are ramping up again to get into full production and to get to their full capability and capacity again. So that gave us a bit of a setback, but we're quickly getting it back on schedule. We're quickly getting it back to the same level of momentum that we had before COVID-19 started. And we still believe that we should be able and will be able to get that first site in production before the end of this year, provided that we don't see any further surprises or fallbacks or deterioration in terms of the COVID-19 situation. But in short, we saw this as an opportunity where we can take advantage of a fast developing market, fast growing market, fast expanding. Short line of sight or short distance from getting into a project to first revenue, and that is really good. That sort of balances the whole situation in Kibo, where we have certain really long term projects where revenue generation is a little bit on the longer term, and if we can augment that by getting projects in energy projects like the emergency power projects to bring in revenue quicker and sooner, then you just diversify your revenue generation in the company so much better.
You qualified your answer there with, so long as there aren't any more setbacks related to COVID. And of course, I think we understand that all companies have setbacks from time to time. Am I right in thinking that the Mbeya project in Tanzania, which is another sort of power generation project, but that was one where you didn't receive the qualification that you needed to take the project forward, which I think one might regard as a setback. But could you just tell us about that and how you're managing that at the moment?
As we've announced in the past already, what we're doing on those projects is, when the decision came out that we didn't qualify for that initial tender, we continued on the path of developing that for the southern and eastern power pools, which we're still pursuing that. We're also pursuing certain private offtakes, which we are looking at for that project. But we also believe and understand that there will be other tenders from the utility for coal-fired projects. And we have made sure that we are ready and able to participate in these again, should they become available. But as I've said just now, what we are doing with that project is to look at taking advantage of the export market, exporting to the various power pools. Project is very well situated from a geographical point of view, especially to take advantage of this. And also Tanzania has got certain commitments in terms of export, which we could then fulfill. But at the same time, we also in contact and in close touch with what's going on in the utility to take advantage of opportunities that might be coming forward out of that angle.
So could I ask, so obviously you're managing that situation. The point is you have the flexibility, if you like, to be able to manage that situation. What, in terms of shareholders, what milestones should shareholders be looking for? I talked beforehand on a five-year horizon, but maybe in a slightly shorter, maybe one-year horizon. What are the key things that investors should be looking out for?
Yes, as I've said earlier, we're working very hard to get the PPAs, the power purchase agreements in place for the Benga project, which will consist of a power purchase agreement with Baobab, and hopefully one with EDM, which we are working on very diligently. And we're working very hard also to get the Bordesley emergency power project in the UK in production before the end of this year. At the same time, also in terms of MED, we are working quite hard to expand that portfolio to do a multi-site development rather than the single site that we're working on at the moment. And we hope to see that take off as well before the end of this year. So with the immediate focus is to get these PPAs in place as far as Mozambique is concerned, to get Bordesley in production before the end of this year, to get more than one project in MED developing in parallel. Then a little bit more I wouldn't want to say in the background, but simultaneously looking at advancing and accelerating developments in Tanzania on the MCPP as well. So those are the key things that we are focusing on between now and the end of the year. And I'm sure you will agree with me that that's already quite a bit.
I can see how you got your plate full. One final question, if I may. I saw that Shumba, one of your shareholders, appeared to be at least reducing its shareholding. Is that the case? And if so, should we read anything into it?
No, I don't think we should read anything into it. They are shareholders, they're just like anybody else. It's their prerogative to deal with their shares the way that they see fit. So I don't think there's anything that we should read into that, other than they are a shareholder who have elected to sell down on their shareholding. But I don't see there's no specific sinister or particular reason behind it. So I don't think there's anything to be read into it.
So perhaps a buying opportunity for anyone thinking of buying the shares.
I would think so, yes.
All right, Louis, I've taken up a great deal of your time. Thank you very much indeed. We really appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Louis Kutsaya, the Chief Executive Officer of Kibo Energy. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for, but join me, Charlie Gibson, back on Share Talk in the very near future, where we will hopefully be bringing you more such investment opportunities. But until then, you have a very capital day.